Hello everyone. Sorry, we're starting a bit late. I had to make sure that we still have healthcare in Canada today. And I can say that there's still some of that going on. I don't know how much of it, but our friend Pascal just had an operation, so he's doing fine. I'm going to start with basically what this movement represents at this late hour or at a point of crisis in that we're in, because basically since last year, like March 2009, you had a beginning of a leading economists starting to study the method that LaRouche uses to do his economic forecasting. And I don't want to say this as in this is, I mean, the fact that we're in contact with these leading economists is like something to like, to blab about. But you have to have this idea in your mind that this is the standpoint from which we're operating every day, in the sense that we are the movement which has got the scientific method of how to save civilization at this time. And some people, like we're saying, from leading economists, are studying LaRouche. And in a sense, we represent the solution that humanity needs right now to get out of this crisis. So you have to have this in the back of your mind whenever you're thinking about what this movement is doing, or else you won't really know what's going on. And then also, because this method of LaRouche is what's unique, this is what the solution that most people in the population don't know about. Even some people in the movement, LaRouche keeps, you know, he doesn't let anybody off the hook. Just because you're in the movement doesn't mean you understand the ideas he's talking about, right? And so he intervened by going into to be a guest as a special guest on the weekly report, which is, you might be familiar with it, but this is a weekly update that usually John Hofel and Jeff Steinberg, people that have been with LaRouche for a long time. But then LaRouche came on the show last week or 2 weeks ago, not too long ago, and basically he did an 80-minute video or an 80-minute discussion from the highest level possible of what is really economics. Because, I mean, don't kid yourself. I mean, this is end game for the British monetary system, and we're the only ones who actually knows what this process, how this process works. And so, what civilization needs to understand or to come to discover is our method, our scientific method. Without that method, civilization would not have a chance right now, because we've destroyed basically all that we had that was good, or the sense in the population of living for the future has been destroyed in a sense, and we represent that today as a leading force for a cultural renaissance. So Mr. LaRouche just published this paper, Science and Christianity, this Easter Sunday. And then he goes through again why this civilization came to be duped, in a sense. Why they came to be, in effect, stupid, right? Probably not by choice, right? But But you, LaRouche is discussing the scientific exploration of what is the process since, or tracing it back to a turning point in history when I think it's like around the failure of the Council of Trent, where Paolo Sarpi emerged with a new kind of idea. It's pretty revolutionary for an empire to have an idea, but Paolo Sarpi said we should have technology, we should have, in a sense, a certain kind of science, but we should not let the population know how to make discoveries. And so this was a change where, you know, you had the culture that, you know, a culture of empires had been existing since the doctrine of Aristotle came to influence the leading population of the world. Now, the basic idea which makes it that this movement can understand what others don't is because we have knowledge of nonsense perception, or the universe which is actually behind sense perception. So we're the only ones who are actually thinking in those terms right now. And in a way, we're not going along. We're not going along with the popular opinions. But the population seems that, like by what has started to happen since last year, they're moving along and they're following the leadership of our movement. That's because human beings probably want to survive, right? But then you have the British Empire, who created it, or their man in the United States right now is Barack Obama. And in a way, he's all used up right now, because Obama, yes, he passed his healthcare bill, but he's not left with much of a political capital, so he's not really able to do much. But you know, you have to watch out, because the only thing he might be useful to the British Empire at this point would be maybe start a war with Iran, which you see in a sense as a potential. You know, why did he have to make a big fuss about this nuclear summit that just happened, when really nothing came out of it that was really new? It was just some kind of like, can we make it seem like the Russians and the Chinese will go along with these sanctions, even though the Russians and the Chinese don't want to go with those sanctions against Iran? Or at least if they are talking of sanctions, they're being careful to how they want to to how this idea is composed, so that they don't want to be caught saying or be quoted as saying something which they don't mean. And so you have that, which might be useful to the British Empire, that Obama could do. But then you also have what the British usually like to do is create a lot of chaos. And they could do that if they could assassinate Obama. And so we have to, you know, be clear. I mean, in the American system, if you don't like the president, if the president is an incompetent or dangerous, if every day he's in the office is very dangerous for the nation, you impeach him. Or you get people to talk to him and say, you're going to have to go out. We'll find a valuable, you're like, you'll be seen as a hero, whatever you want, but you have to go. And so in the meanwhile, you know, you have these groups, the typical enemies, like of the United States in the last 40 years. You have the Rohatyn and Soros crowds, who are pushing for an IMF bank in the United States. And this, you know, this would never be able to succeed. It would be impossible for that to succeed. Just like they tried to go to Afghanistan or Middle East, sorry, and tried to create an empire there, but that can't work. And so we have to understand that what Rohatyn and Soros are doing, they're just like symptoms of the disease of this. Of this liberalism, of this Sarpy liberalism in the culture. So it's not like they're that special or that powerful necessarily. They're just roaches, you know.
Hey, look, when you're talking about this IMF bank in the United States, what are you referencing here?
Well, I don't have much detail. It's just basically, you know, they're trying to go with another scheme to find new ways to finance, basically not introducing a principle for as long as they could.
And these two guys pulling up something new, basically, that you're saying, that has to do with like an IMF type of institution in the States? Okay.
And so, it's starting to be a lot... clearer and clearer. I mean, anybody who's been following this crisis, you have the face of the enemy. LaRouche put it out. You know, you have this inter-alpha group of banks, which is associated with Jacob Rothschild, which is the face of the enemy. This is the British Empire within the United States, or this whole crazy swindle, and you know. These insurance companies like AIG, these people that contributed to creating the crisis, who would want to bail out these guys, right? Starting to be pretty obvious that it's crazy. I mean, there's no reason why the American people should bail out the people who created, you know, false assets, derivative products, financial instruments, which didn't produce anything, and we're not going to bail out something which is worthless. But then again, you need to have, I mean, even though the population might realize the effects that they're getting screwed, we still need to introduce the idea in here, in the situation. And for those that have been looking or studying this movement, and LaRouche keeps saying, we were always right. Just because, don't look for numbers to say that we were doing the right thing or not. Because some people got afraid when LaRouche went to prison or when the SDI when Reagan offered it, but it was not taken up by the Russians, you know, people thought maybe that's not, we should have done something else instead because it didn't work. Well, that's not true, because if that proposal had been accepted, you would not be living in the same universe right now, in a sense. So we were always right. We always had the policy based on physical economy. And that's still today what is needed. And it's just that the situations, the predicates have changed. Because of the you know, we're a movement which is actually using these revolutionary ideas with the basement work and the Purcellville operation. We're in a process of accelerating the process of the population making breakthroughs in the way they understand the universe to be and how it works and how they can, in a sense, join us in this creative process of changing the universe. So, you know, this whole question, it starts with knowing how to answer the question, like, what is truth? And you can't start answering this question without going to this question of what is the nature of man. And so, in a sense, the whole population, or at least the people that are going to be the leaders in this thing, there has to be an upshift. There has to be an upshift to Lynn's perspective. And because we're human, we can do that. For those that want to, that are tired of this shit, you know, they want to get serious, it's time to discover what man actually is, as a difference of principle, as a different species from any other kind of animals. And this is our identity. This is what this movement is. In a sense, it represents these creative ideas discovered from a tradition of human beings going back at least 6,000 years. And now we have a group of leading economists that are studying Lynn, and they're leading the world out of this crisis with us. And we have to know that that's who we are. This is what we represent. And like I said, not because you want to go out and say, look how much influence we have. You know, we got this guy, we got that guy. That's not the point. The point is that humanity is not an animal. And if you're going to be a leader, and it's a good time to be one because there's a crisis, right? If you want to be a leader, you want to lead people, you have to lead them with something which is true.
What do you say? That's still very interesting, because myself, when I talk to youth groups in the churches, and I tell them that I'm a member of a youth group also, so they always come and ask me, what is your youth group for? Or, so when you started this lesson by saying what the La Roche youth movement is, it's very, very interesting. I'd like to know what differentiates us from the other, and what differentiates the other from us. Now, when you say that the La Roche movement represents humanity, is the same as when we say in French, organisation humanitaire? No?
Hope not.
You're wrong, but
it's not the same. Yeah?
I don't think so.
That's why I have to use the comments.
Well, that's why you have to be. That's why you have to be careful with words. This movement, if the universe was Cartesian, or Newtonian, or Sarpian, or mathematical, right? Then you can identify the series of points, the series of facts, the series of objects of which the universe is composed, like an aggregate of these objects make up the universe. Or you could have like an aggregate of the right words make up our identity. That's not what human beings are. We're actually a species which come to know and discover creative ideas. So maybe we should be asking, what are ideas? And it's interesting because LaRouche, you know, He talks to us all the time, but some people, they hear the words that he's saying, they forget sometimes, maybe we all do sometimes, but what he's really saying is not the words. He's trying to communicate the idea, right? But, I mean, that's why when I say what this identity of this movement, it's a... You have to start from the highest level possible. What is the nature of man? What is this universe in which man had to exist. And for us to have a future, man has to know what a man is, or what a human being is. To take it further now. I mean, that's all really I had to say today. JP is going to talk to us about the different interpretation of the dialogue of the Phaedon. The Phaedon? Something like that. But Phaedon, I think this Phaedon idea treats of this very timely idea that, you know, we're dealing with basically the answer to your question, in a sense, this quality of, or the immortality of the human soul. And if you read, the subject of immortality is a few pages into this new paper by Lin, so I suggest you look at it.